Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Vandal Scoreboard on KUI Moscow 89.3 FM or Spotify. We're back. We missed last week due to Thanksgiving break, but we are back. We have a lot to talk about. My name is Mark Warren.
And I'm James Torman Aldrich.
And James, I don't know if you've heard yet, but the Vandals got a playoff seed, and they're going to be hosting a playoff game.
Yeah, you know, first time in 30 years that Idaho has been able to say that they can host a playoff game in the FCS. Granted, they were out for like 20 of those 30 years, but you know, it is pretty cool to say that the Kibbe Dome will be host to a second round playoff game, because the Vandals got that first round bye against a very stingy Southern Illinois team.
Yeah, we will get into that game later, but first, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I ate some turkey, mac and cheese, potatoes, a lot of pie. It was good.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Jumping right into it, Idaho track team added an MVP sprinter from Gonzaga Prep. Ryan Madden will be joining the Vandals team. I don't know much about the track team, but it's always good to add good players.
Yeah, you know, I think they've added a lot of runners, mostly like short to medium distance runners from what I've seen. But, you know, it's always great to be able to bolster that team. When you have to compete against teams like NAU, getting the best that you can in the area and even a lot of players from abroad is going to be huge for the Vandals. To maybe try and bump Montana State out of that second spot and maybe even end the NAU dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on to swimming and diving, Idaho is hosting the third annual Vandal Invite December 1st through 3rd at the Swim Center. The Vandals will be competing against the College of Idaho and Whitman College. You know, another fun event to be added to this weekend, which is already full of events.
Yeah, you know, actually some pretty cool stuff happening earlier this morning as Ginger Kiefer, something like that, broke his six-year-old school record in the 500 freestyle with a time of 4:54.31, beating the previous record of 4:54.52 held by Leah Fisk. So that's pretty awesome. You know, it's you know, you obviously want to win the event, but being able to add on those personal accolades is pretty cool too.
Yeah, after the Vandal Invite, the team will have a bit of a break until January 20th. Where they will go down to St. George, Utah to play Utah Tech. Moving on, volleyball ended their season.
Woohoo!
A one-win season. We've talked a fair amount about this team. Disappointing season. You just kind of have to hope that you can retain players and move on next year.
Yeah, you know, you hope that it isn't like that one guy, Zach Claus, who had a one-win season and then continued to not have a winning season until he was fired. So, you know, it's big for the Vandals to be able to retain players in this offseason. If they don't, then, you know, maybe it'll be a 4-5 win season next year, and maybe 3 years down the road, Coach Gonzalez is still here. He can get 10 wins, and, you know, it just hasn't been a good couple of years for Vandal volleyball. You know, the glory days of 2014 are over. And it might be time to move forward after just a few years, but it could also be a time to you know, buckle down and try to keep players here and try to do something next season.
Yeah, the volleyball team only won 5 sets in conference play.
That's
so
tough.
A really, really disappointing season. So, you know, hopefully next year is better for them. You know, a few disappointing seasons building up, moving very quickly along. Men's basketball had a heartbreaking loss to the University of Denver Wednesday, 67-65. James, tell me about that.
Yeah, so unfortunately couldn't be at the game. Shout out to the worst class in the world for running from 4 to 7 p.m. But I was able to watch about the last 5 minutes, and I have never seen a defense collapse on the perimeter more than I saw the Vandals collapse in the final 4 to 5 minutes of that game. Left open 3 wide open threes, including that one for Denver to win it there at the end. Corner 3 that D'Angelo Minnis, I don't know where he was at. He was in the paint for some reason, and then had to try and run out and and put some defense up on that shot. Couldn't get there in time. Went right through the net. Coach Pribble didn't have any timeouts left. You're forced to chuck something up with half a second left on the clock as you get down the court. And I think it was Chris Gonzalez who took that final shot there, and it was wide left. So, you know, it's good for the Vandals to be losing close rather than getting, you know, blown out or losing by 10, 15. You know, but when you're a very defensive-heavy team, especially there at the end, you got to be able to hold on, play tough defense, and be able to win that game. So, you know, they play Cal Poly at 2 p.m. on Tuesday, who isn't a great team.
On Saturday.
Or Saturday. Well, I don't know why I said Tuesday. You know, Cal Poly, not a great team. They don't play – I don't know what they play in for basketball. They're a big sky team for football. New jerseys – maybe it'll lead to a win for the Vandals, but yeah, you know, you have Kyson Rose, you have Julius Mims, you have D'Angelo Minnis, you have EJ Neal, who I don't even know if he played, but these teams who are good, or these players who are good on both sides of the ball.
EJ Neal did not play.
Yeah, EJ was brought in as a defensive anchor, doesn't play. I don't know, you know, what the reasoning behind that is exactly. But, you know, I kind of would have liked to see some more defense out there on the court there at the end of the game.
Yeah, since our last episode, the Vandals have gone 2-2, beating Pacific Lutheran University, which was a given for the Vandals, losing big to Seattle University, and then in overtime beating UC San Diego. You know, now we are 7 games into the season, James. What are you seeing from this Vandal team? What do you like? What do you not like? Where do you think they could go?
You know, I think the defense is incredible. Over the last few years, the Vandals haven't had a solid defense, and it's been great this season. It could still be better. I mean, they gave up a 30-40-point loss to Seattle U before turning it around against UCSD, which seems to be the Vandals' forte. They lose by a lot and then go and win one close. It happened last season, losing big to Eastern Washington before picking up a 4-point win to Montana State. You know, what I don't like is that the Vandals are very small. You know, they have 2 or 3 6'9 guys in Taren Frank, Juice Mims, and Kyson Rose. But outside of that, they're relatively small. And even in the paint, you know, 6'9 isn't big. You know, you'd like to see a 6'11, 7-foot guy out there. But Juice plays like he's 7 foot. Kyson plays well. I'd like to see Kyson take some more wide open mid-range shots. It seems like they kind of give that to him, and then rather than take it, he'll back the defender down and then take a little hook shot or try to hit a layup, and usually isn't the best shot. You know, I would like to see the Vandals taking the best shot on the court, which in my opinion, is the 3-point shot. The Vandals are much better beyond the arc than they have been in recent years. You know, Kyson is a big who can shoot threes. He hasn't been super efficient on the season. Juice is a big who can also shoot threes, but doesn't have many attempts. But you know, I would like to see you know, more 3-point attempts, more makes in the paint, and they're called free throws for a reason, and the Vandals can't hit them when they need to.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the University of Denver game, they shot one free throw and they missed it.
Yeah, and that was D'Angelo Minnis. He got fouled at the end of the game, and that free throw, I think, would have put it away, potentially, especially because he would have had an extra shot. So, you know, you'd get two there, and then, you know, you would have had the game, but you know, so I'd like to see them be better at the free throw line, take more threes, and make their shots in the paint.
The Vandals have 5 more games before having a 2-game Big Sky stint, and then they play St. Thomas, and then they go to a full Big Sky schedule. I think just an important Big Sky basketball thing to mention. Montana State lost to an NAIA team.
Yeah, Montana State lost to Rocky Mountain College, which I've been there. I've been on their campus. They have a very nice football field. Their buildings are garbage. I competed in a speech and debate meet on their campus. It's where the Billings Central Rams play. Fun fact, I've been in their basketball gym mm-hmm. as well, but I think the game was at Bozeman.
Yeah.
Montana State recently beat Cal 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're primed to be one of the best teams in the Big Sky Conference. You go out to and lose to an NAIA team. You know, maybe if they played Royce Robinson, they would have won, but he's redshirting this season. You know, that's big for the Big Sky Conference to see a team that in recent years has been very, very dominant. Mm-hmm. I think they lost by 6 or 8.
They lost by 8 points.
Yeah. So, no, that's a huge win for the Frontier Conference, huge win for Rocky mm-hmm. Mountain.
Rocky Mountain has, in over 100 years of competing against Montana State, has not won a game outside of, I believe, one forfeit victory.
Yeah. So this is huge. This is huge for Rocky Mountain College.
For all of our shared Vandal and Rocky Mountain College fans, this is a big day.
Yeah. And for really anybody who doesn't like Montana mm-hmm. State, which you're weird. The only time I root against Montana State is when mm-hmm. we're playing them. You know, so, but you know, that's big for teams like Eastern Washington, for mm-hmm. Idaho, and for, you know, those teams who want to be in the upper echelon of the Big Sky, to be able to see a team who has been in the upper echelon of the Big Sky lose to the lowest division out there is huge.
Yeah, no, Montana State is a beatable team this year. Moving on, women's basketball sitting at 4-2, having a really good trip to Hawaii, beating both California State University at Fullerton and then the University of Hawaii. You know, two really big wins, coming back home, losing to Utah Valley University and then beating Utah State University.
Yeah, you know, splitting games against the state of Utah, one at home, one on the road, staying mm-hmm. perfect on the road. They limited Utah State to 9 attempted threes, and they didn't hit any of them. I think the athletic department said that's the first time since 2015-2016 that the Vandals haven't allowed a three in a game, so that's huge. The game against Utah Valley, it was just, you know, Utah Valley couldn't miss from the mid-range, and it killed the Vandals. You know, they could defend the three-point line, they could defend inside, but if there was a player open, you know, from 15 to 18 feet out, it was a certified bucket. So, but it was nice to see the Vandals rebound from that against, granted, a not good Utah State team. Mm-hmm. They lost by like 40 to Eastern Washington. Which they also lost by 40 to the Vandals or something like that.
Yeah, about 27.
Okay, so, you know, 30-point loss to the Vandals, 40-point loss to Eastern. That shows that the Vandals could beat a very good Eastern Washington mm-hmm. team come Big Sky play. You know, the Vandals women's team is very good. You know, having an entirely new coaching staff, basically all new team outside of, I think, Jaden and Skylar B., Ashlyn Wallace, Jenna, yeah, there were only four or five of them, and Aisha Phillips as well. So, you know, three players who got playing time last season who are back for the Vandals, but, you know, it's a very new team, new coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Butera is one of the best bigs in women's basketball that I've had the pleasure of watching. Ashlyn Wallace is finally finding her shot, which, you know, she hits a point every season. Luckily for the Vandals, it's early this year where she's confident enough to start taking threes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be huge for the Vandals going forward. You know, Hope Butera is going to be huge. Emily Langer is incredible. She's been huge for the Vandals. I don't remember exactly where she transferred in from, but she's been very solid as well.
Yeah, I will mention that the Vandals are playing a game on the day of recording. They are they're playing Texas A&M University Commerce. We obviously don't have those results as that game has not happened for us yet.
Yeah, that should be a win for the Vandals mm-hmm. From what I was looking at earlier this week in the press conference with Coach Amy. But you never know. The Vandals have not really done well at home this season. They're 1-2 at home, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they could really, really use a win tonight or yesterday at the time of recording, technically. So, know, that could be huge for the Vandals. Mm-hmm. You know, granted, it's not Texas A&M, it's Texas A&M Commerce, but,
you know, still,
you know, still affiliated.
And then a week later on December 8th, they will go to Eugene, Oregon to play the Ducks. Moving on, Idaho ended their regular, the football team ended their regular season with a pretty big win against Idaho State, 63-21. It was not as close as either of us thought it was, or it would have been.
You know, I feel kind of silly. I don't remember what my exact prediction was.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I looked at Idaho State's passing offense, and I went, you know, maybe they can figure it out. And then they had four separate players, including a wide receiver, throw four interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That is insane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and to have, I think it was Dwayne McDougal was the one who had two, or Monty Arnold had one, and Kyron Beecham has really stepped up this season. He also had an interception. Just a huge game for the Vandals. Jack Lane winning Offensive Player of the Week in the Big Sky after that game with six first-half touchdowns. He was on pace for 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, the Vandals just slowed down in the second half, let their second, third, might probably even fourth and fifth string players get some playing time. But, you know, big win for the Vandals to, you know, had they, honestly, I think if they won by less than 40, they would have probably gotten that fifth seed. So to be able to have a dominant performance with second and third string players against Idaho State, secured that four seed, which if they beat SIU and tomorrow, or today, it's really weird that we record this day early. It makes things difficult. But, you know, if they beat SIU, they'll have another home game, and then maybe Mercer can pull off the biggest upset of the year and beat South Dakota State, and then they'll get a third home game. That could be huge for the Vandals.
Yeah. Like you said, Jack Lane, really good game, 275 yards over in the air, six touchdowns. Really impressed with how he looks. You know, I think something that people have talked about is the possibility of McCoy transferring after this season. You know, watching Jack Lane play in this game and watching him play throughout the past few seasons, I think that if he stays with the Vandals will be all right at quarterback, even if McCoy.
You know, I love Giovanni McCoy, but, you know, if I had to look at the future of this Vandals program, I'd be okay with Vonnie transferring to another school, having Jack Lane come in as the starting quarterback. Personally, next season, if Vonnie and Jack are both still here, I would love to see Jack Lane get more playing time.
Mm-hmm.
You could easily do what Montana State does and run a two quarterback system, probably run it better than Montana State does, especially since they have no idea what they're doing with Sean Chambers right now. You know, and the Vandals are, you know, and even the third string quarterback,
Jack Wagner.
Yeah, Jack Wagner is also good. You know, he's more of a running quarterback, but you know, the Vandals are really set in the backfield for the future, even if, you know, Giovanni transfers, even with, you know, Hayden Hatton and Jermaine Jackson leaving after this season, you still have good targets deeper down on the depth chart. So,
yeah,
if the Vandals can survive the transfer portal season, you know, they'll be very good next year as well.
Well, I think that's you mentioned a two quarterback system. If both Giovanni and Jack Lane come back, there were multiple games this season where Giovanni McCoy threw 40, 50 passes.
Mm-hmm.
Having a two-quarterback system would negate those big problems.
Yeah, you know, and you also take into consideration that game against Weber State was right after Vonnie had a heck of a game against MSU, but that was a tough game. It was a tough game to win. I honestly think you put Jack Lane in the starting position against Weber State, and they probably could have come out with a win there. You know, you wouldn't have to throw 50 passes. With just one quarterback, you could have
Or in the Northern Colorado game, that like little buffer game, you know, you put Jack Lane in there.
Exactly, there were plenty of opportunities this season where, you know, the Vandals could have utilized their depth a little bit more, and I also think there have been opportunities this season where, you know, they could have utilized their special teams a lot more, and I think that's something that we're going to see in the SIU game is going to be huge as our special teams unit.
You know, obviously Jermaine Jackson having the big punt return touchdown, his first touchdown of the season. I didn't realize that he hadn't gotten one I also caught for one. Anthony Woods had another 100-yard game. Just a good game for the Vandals all around.
Yeah, you know, Anthony Woods is, as some people would say, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
In the backfield for the Vandals. You also have Nick Romano, who jumped from fifth-string running back last season to the backup for Anthony Woods. You know, and there are a lot of guys under them as well. There are, you know, three, four, five other running backs mm-hmm. who are freshmen that are that could potentially get playing time next season, potentially get moved to another position. You never know. But, you know, that like I said about the quarterback room, that backfield is primed for the future and could see some huge things going forward.
Mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about the Southern Illinois game. They've got a good defense.
2.7 rushing yards per attempt. I think they only allow about 92 a game.
Yeah.
Fifth best rushing defense in the FCS as a whole. Mm-hmm. Idaho is, I was looking, I think Idaho's like 30th mm-hmm. In rushing defense and maybe even rushing offense. They're not a great rushing offense in that mm-hmm. mostly you can look back at that Weber State and Montana games as to why the numbers are a little lower. But, you know, for a team that's named after a really skinny dog with a really long nose, their defense, especially their running defense, is more like a freaking pit bull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is it's going to be a game where the Vandals are lucky to have it in the Kibbe Dome. Obviously, we Absolutely. Saw last year's playoff game outside. Weather, you know, is the reason.
A team who doesn't know how to clean their turf.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, being in the Kibbe Dome, I think it's going to be packed. It should be a...
You know, I want to think that the Kibbe Dome would be full.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at the amount of tickets that are left the other day, and there are a lot of dark blue sections that are... Mm-hmm. There are still a lot of tickets available. Student tickets, they had 1,500 free available as of yesterday. There were still somewhere between 800 and 900 tickets left for students that, mm-hmm. that hadn't been claimed. Granted, I think a lot of students already bought their tickets beforehand because they didn't know the raffle was going to happen or whatever. But, you know, this is a game where Idaho is going to have to pass the ball or they're going to have to establish a run game early.
Mm-hmm.
And by early, I mean you're going to have to hand it to Anthony Woods, Nick Romano a lot. I wouldn't run that freaking jet sweep that they love to mm-hmm. run four or five times a game. It's going to get blown up.
Yeah.
This is a game where I honestly think Jack Lane is going to have to get some playing time because Giovanni's arm is going to get tired.
Yeah, no, and I think that Jack Lane proved that he can come in and make those big-time throws. You know, I think that'll be the big thing to watch is this Southern Illinois defense because, you know, the Vandal defense has been all right this season. Hasn't been the best, hasn't been the worst. But I think that they, inside the Kibbe Dome, they will be able to play well. So, you know, the question, you know, comes down to Anthony Woods, Hayden Hattinger, and Giovanni McCoy.
Yeah, you know, and this is a game where I think Idaho needs to be happy that this isn't a heavy run defense or a mm-hmm. heavy run offense.
Yeah.
You know, similarly to Idaho State where, you know, they had one of the best passing offenses in the Big Sky, or they did have the best passing mm-hmm. offense in the Big Sky despite the now 16 interceptions they threw. But, you know, this is a team that the Idaho Vandals don't need to be worried about running the ball much, which has been something they've struggled with all season.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Montana, you look at Weber, you know, those two big losses that they had, when, granted they were 2-point losses, but, you know, without those two losses, you secure the 2 seed
yeah.
and don't end up having to play South Dakota State on the road in 2 weeks. Well, you know, this is a game where if I'm Idaho, I'm leaning on Giovanni McCoy. I'm looking at Jack Lane to come in at some point, whether they're up by 2 or 20, mm-hmm. I would still like to see some Jack Lane playing time. I think this is going to be probably a big day for backup wide receivers such as Jordan Dwyer and Therese Traynor. Their Vandals are planning on utilizing Mark Hamper, who got quite a bit of playing time last mm-hmm. week, or 2 weeks ago, I guess, technically. Now, this could be a big game also for, you know, the freshmen who, you know, had reached their red shirt status or have held their red shirt status for those 4 games.
Mm-hmm.
who now still have eligibility in the playoffs because of the FCS rule change. So I would expect the freshmen to come in and also have a big presence in this game for Idaho.
Yeah, I've got some numbers. SIU runs the ball for 118.3 yards per game, 91st ranked in the FCS. So they're not a heavy run team.
No. And I mean, you look at Montana State, mm-hmm. who I think is the second best in the FCS.
Yeah.
Ran for over 300 yards a game. Idaho held them to below 200 for only the second time this season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not a run defense for at least, or it's not a run offense that Idaho needs to be worried about with their not as good run defense.
Mm-hmm. You know, just looking back at the Vandal regular season, I think it was, they did better than I thought they were going to. You know, the big Montana State game, if they lose that one, it's a very different story.
If they lose that one, they'd, you know, you're a 7-4 team again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially if Montana State ends the season the same way they ended the season, you could even be a team on the outside looking in because you don't have an auto bid.
Mm-hmm.
The committee, the selection committee, was looking a little more favorably at the Missouri Valley Conference than it was the Big Sky. Still think UC Davis should have made it in, but that's a story for a different day. But, you know, if Idaho loses one or even two more games, mm-hmm. you know, it's a totally different story. But that win over Nevada, despite them being an awful FBS team, really helped.
Yeah.
You know, same story for Sac State, who got their win over Stanford earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is a very good Idaho team.
Yeah.
And they were very good all season. Granted, the offensive line had as much difficulty as a collegiate offensive line can have.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you got to give a lot of props to the secondary, a lot of props to the defensive line, you know, a lot of props to guys like Keyshawn James Newby, who transferred in mm-hmm. from Montana Tech and came in and was so dominant for the Vandals this season. You know, the transfers really, really helped this year. As you know, it was the old guys and the really young guys, mm-hmm. those junior, senior, grad transfers, and those freshmen who, you know, were either willing to waive their red shirt or not take their red shirt this season or play all four games
mm-hmm.
And, you know, have an impact for the Vandals.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you would say it's been a very successful season for the Vandals.
Absolutely. And
have they lived up to your – because I know you had high expectations.
I did. You know, at the beginning of the year, I said that they would lose to Weber and they'd beat Montana State. People called me crazy. I said if they were going to lose an out-of-conference game, it was going to be against Cal.
Mm-hmm.
No, I did expect them to beat Montana, but Montana figured out their quarterback situation, which, you know, had they still been playing Vidlak against the Vandals, Idaho probably would have won.
Mm-hmm. And Idaho came closer to beating Montana than Sac State or Montana State.
Yeah, you know, down 20-0 to come back and almost win that. Granted, they could have won if we utilized special teams better, which, like I said, is going to be huge in the SIU mm-hmm. game. You know, I would expect Ricardo Chavez to be out there a few times. You know, if it's a field goal kick within 40 yards and it's fourth and more than five, you got to go and kick it.
Uh-huh.
You know, even if it's fourth and three, I'd still recommend kicking it within 40. But, you know, the Vandals lived up to my expectations, especially the young guys who have really put their name on the map.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys like Jackson Eck, X-Ray Alexander. I don't know if I don't think he's a freshman, but he's very young.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to double check that for me. You know, Dallas Afalava is a young guy who played very well. You know, the Vandals were good this season because they went out and picked up young guys and brought in a lot of freshmen and didn't utilize the transfer portal as much as, you know, maybe they could have.
X-Ray is a freshman.
He is a freshman. Yeah. Can you check Dallas Afalava for mm-hmm. me as well? So, you know, X-Ray has proven himself.
Also a freshman.
Yeah. So, you know, you got three guys mm-hmm. on defense who really proved themselves as freshmen this season. You know, and you could, you know, Jackson Eck, son of head coach Jason Eck,
mm-hmm.
but proved that he wasn't just on the field because of his last name.
And, yeah.
You know, he was very good out there this season. And I expect big things for those guys going forward as well.
Mm-hmm. So with this SIU game, do you think the Vandals are going to win it?
I do think it will be a Vandal win. I think it's going to be close. You know, mm-hmm. Idaho is a team that's good at home. SIU, I don't know how well they travel, but that's a long trip.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how exactly their materials are getting here. Their stuff is getting mm-hmm. here. But if they're driving the truck over, you know, Mercer's driving up to SDSU, so I imagine SIU's driving all of their equipment
mm-hmm.
to Idaho. That's going to be a trip with the snowstorm that
I believe. I believe they've already gotten to Idaho.
Okay,
based on
wonderful.
What I've seen on Twitter.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So you know, but it's going to be a tough game for the Vandals, and if I'm, you know, granted, I never played football. I know mm-hmm. very little about the ins and outs of the sport. But if I'm head coach Jason Eck, I'm playing two quarterbacks in this game, especially if, you know, Giovanni McCoy reaches that 30, 32
mm-hmm.
passing attempt area, especially because, you know, he's expected to play. He's expected to be 100% maybe, but he is still coming off an injury. Anthony Woods, I would try to get going, but I'd also utilize Nick Romano and maybe even Carlos Matheny and Art Williams, I think his name is, from Meridian. I would utilize the depth in this game mm-hmm. because SIU is very good. Their defense is very, very good. They're going to wear this offense out. And the Vandals are going to hope that the offensive line had the absolute best bye week and practice of their life and the best Thanksgiving dinner of their life
mm-hmm.
Because that offensive line is going to need to hold up to make sure that Anthony Woods can get through it. You know, if I'm Idaho, I'd be thankful that SIU tends to run more of a 3-4 than a 4-3
mm-hmm.
And just hope that Anthony Woods can break some tackles and get in the end zone.
Yeah. Real quick before we leave, how far into the playoffs do the Vandals make it?
I think they can make it to Frisco. And I know that's a wild statement to make. However, if the Vandals are lucky enough that SDSU can lose in the next 2 weeks, which
mm-hmm.
any given Saturday,
yeah.
you know, or Friday, depending on what day teams play next week, you know, the Vandals have a better shot. I think that game against SDSU, you know, granted the Vandals have to beat SIU,
mm-hmm.
beat... I think they might end up playing UAlbany or Richmond
yep,
or something next
week.
Yeah,
I believe that is.
You know, I think that's a more winnable game than SIU is. But then if you have to travel on the road to South Dakota, probably snowy, something the Vandals aren't used to. So if I'm the Vandals, I'm praying for SDSU to lose early.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say at least semifinals, especially getting the luck of the draw with the two home games.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really love to see an Idaho-Montana rematch in Frisco.
Yeah, I think everyone wants to see that.
Also, give me the freaking Stein back if we win.
Yeah, I think if the Vandals win in Frisco, we should get the Stein.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Real quick.
Score prediction?
Score prediction, yes. I'm going to go 21-17 Idaho.
Okay, I'm not going to take Sam Herter's prediction of 28-21. I am, however, going to say that Ricardo Chavez gets his redemption and kicks a, how far was it? Like 37 yards?
Yeah.
He's going to kick a 38-yard field goal for the Vandals to win 24-21.
There we go. Thank you all so much for listening. Goodbye, everyone.